How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is January 8, 2013, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Lots of stuff to talk about, including the first Raw of 2013, technically, I guess. It was New Year's last time, right? Anyway, so Road to WrestleMania. Road to WrestleMania is beginning, and The Rock is back. CM Punk versus Rock at the Rumble is official. And Dave, what did you think of the show?
It was an interesting show. There was a couple of good matches, and the last segment was unique. I'm not exactly sure, but you know it was a verbal segment between the two of them, and Rock laid out Punk with a rock bottom, and then after the show went off the air, he laid him out with another rock bottom, and then he laid him out with a people's elbow after that. So that was the deal. I thought Punk was tremendous, but I don't know that it was a weird promo. I thought he was really good on it, but a lot of people didn't. And then Rock was doing the Rock. It was weird. It's like it was two guys who were on completely different wavelengths. Like their wavelengths to me never matched, but the star power's there, and the match is going to do great. So I guess it was effective for what it is, and the Rock's already drawing. They sold out Tampa, which may be the first of a lot of sellouts on Monday nights.
I was intrigued by the last segment. It went about a half hour. First, Punk came out, and they built it up like he was going to do this big pipe bomb interview, and of course he dropped that term. And then he proceeded to talk forever. It had nothing to do with The Rock. No,
he's just telling the fans how stupid they were and how he's,
I figured
them and they're all gullible.
I figured watching it that they just wanted to ensure that The Rock would be cheered.
I don't think that was an issue. I think that it was just that they, the idea is that Rock is his portrayal is the people's champion. So to get heat, Punk turned on the people. I don't think that
he's been a heel forever.
What?
He's been a heel forever.
No. The whole thing, but he turned on the people because Rock is the people's champion.
I see.
That was the whole idea behind it.
Sure.
But I mean, whether Punk may have gotten some cheers or not, nobody was going to boo The Rock in Florida. I mean, they're not going to boo him hardly anywhere, but certainly not there. I don't think that was even a concern for a second that, it's not, this is not a John Cena thing where sometimes you got to do, manipulate the crowd because you're afraid of the reaction. I mean, these people, they're not booing him. They're not booing him now. I don't know that they're going to boo him anywhere, but certainly they aren't going to boo him, there, and they're not going to boo him tomorrow night in Miami. And I can't see them booing him when they get here to San Jose or, anywhere unless something completely unforeseen happens. Who knows what could happen? But it didn't happen. It hadn't happened yet.
So what the hell did the promo have to do with The Rock then?
He was turning on the people. And the people, The Rock is defender of the people because he's the people's champion.
Okay, that's all fine and good, but you could have said that in about 2 minutes. He went on for about 15 minutes.
They felt that, they wanted a 30-minute segment that would be memorable, and I think that they went way too long on it. Way, way too long. I think that once The Rock came out, it was actually pretty compelling, but you didn't need the first 15 minutes. I mean, you could have done it in five easily, but they had confidence in Punk's ability to talk, and maybe they sent him out there for too long, and that was a problem. But that was how the show was laid out.
I mean, Punk's delivery and what he was actually talking about, he did a great job with it, but I was sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting for him to say something about his opponent at the Royal Rumble, and he never did. And then Rock came out and belittled him, and finally at the end, Punk kind of gave a little comeback about how he's going to kick his ass. And I mean, the last 2 or 3 minutes was actually, it was almost like, the last 2 or 3 minutes was almost like a go-home promo, and they still got like 3 weeks left. So it'll be interesting to see where they go, but Rock was Rock. He did everything he always does,
yeah.
And Punk was Punk, and as you noted, they were on two different planets, really, doing
it's
this
really weird
thing
it's like,
together.
It's like, it's not really, I mean, and that may not be the worst thing. I don't know. But it was really, It felt like I was watching, instead of like guys talking back and forth, I was watching two guys doing completely different shticks.
They're two guys doing their own thing.
Yeah, they were doing. It didn't mesh. I'm not saying that you have to mesh, because it's gonna work. You know, I have no doubt it's gonna work. But I mean, when I look at, was it one of the greatest things of all time? Nah, it wasn't that. I think rock. It's a weird thing, because when you become a certain level of personality, the people want to see your classic work. They want to see all of his, it doesn't matter, and if you smell and all that. Which I don't think he actually did that one on this one until after the show was off the air. But I mean, they want to see all of that. But at the same time, when he does it, it almost feels like it's from another era, which it is. I mean, it is. It's from 10 years ago, but it's weird. It's almost like when he first came back a year ago, he had a story to tell about first coming back. And then he also had the John Cena thing, which was a very believable situation, because a lot of people knew. You know, it started from something real. You know, it was a shoot that turned into a work, at least from Rock's standpoint. I don't know, Cena probably was always a work. The thing is, on this one, Punk said a whole bunch of stuff, but nobody really ever took it seriously like it was a shoot or anything like that. And this is just a program to build a match. It's not like, welcome back and I missed wrestling and all this, because he hasn't been away for that long. It's like him coming back to win the world title. But he really didn't do that promo. He just did his stuff. And there's plenty of time. There's a couple of weeks, and maybe he'll do that in the go-home show. Or maybe he won't. Maybe he won't go in there and talk about how important the title is. I mean, there was a mention of it and all that, because the whole idea of this program, the story of this return is Rock is going for the championship after, not having the title since whatever year the last time he had it. I think it was 80, late 82 when Lesnar beat him. So it's over 10 years. So that's the idea. That's the idea, the story behind the comeback. The title is a major part of it. And at some point, I think that they need to, Punk certainly gets the title over as important, and Rock did to a degree, but I think Rock needs to do it a little bit more, but there's time. But a lot of it still, when he goes to these cities, people want to see him do, they want to see him do what they remember him doing. And yeah, I guess he has to do it, but at the same time, you also want, for the TV audience, I think that you should do something different. But it was weird. I mean, I don't say it's weird. It was just it didn't gel. I mean, the bigger goal is this going to help draw at the pay-per-view? And I don't have much doubt that it will. So, and I don't have much doubt that this promo isn't, that this program isn't going to be a big deal, because even if everything isn't great, the reality is that he's such a big star, and he's going to draw on pay-per-view most likely. And if he doesn't, then maybe it's wrong, but I don't see that happening. And Punk is Punk did a great job to me on being that opponent, that the strong heel opponent. I think Punk did do a fantastic job of being a heel when all was said and done. But yeah, in hindsight, they could have cut his promo out down about 8 minutes, and it would have been a lot better.
Let's go from the beginning. It opened up with John Cena coming out for a promo, and they replayed the stuff from last week with Ziggler and AJ and such. And of course, they came out, Ziggler, Big E, and AJ. Ziggler announced he was going into the Royal Rumble. They told some wiener jokes.
Yeah, that was pretty lame.
Hideous.
Ziggler had a black eye.
Yeah.
Probably from he's worked with Cena every night, so Cena, must have not missed him by 3 feet, like people said his punches were missing him most of the weekend. It was weird, like, Cena and Ziggler had essentially the exact same match with a few modifications that they do every single night at the house shows. And it turns out it is a good match because of the twists and turns. And Ziggler bumps really hard and everything. But it's almost like, you know, for the first part of the match, I felt like that they were, they've almost like fallen into a routine, you know, and as opposed to an intense fight. That was kind of the feeling I had. By the end, it was very good, though. I mean, it was you know, better than most television matches, a lot better than most television matches, and they gave them 17 minutes, which is more time than most people get on TV as well.
Well, before the match started, we had the deal where Big E Langston is now not only not a zombie, but he has a speaking role and personality. So
well, I think that's the idea. The thing that surprised me, okay, they did a thing, and I'm presuming this goes somewhere, because Ziggler wanted no part of this match. And then Big E accepted, and I thought Big E was going to accept for Big E, but in fact he accepted for Ziggler. So I guess that, does that mean that they're building like a split between the two and Big E going face?
It came off like they were building a split. And last week...
Don't you think that's a little early?
Well, I mean, something must have changed in the last week, because last week he was still a non-speaking zombie, and somehow now they're teasing a split, he's talking, and he's no longer a zombie, so something must have changed.
But don't you think it's like, okay...
Yeah, it's way too early. It's been months.
The split, but the other thing is, if they do the split, and he's a babyface, which may be their... And that may very well be their goal down the line, and it probably is. God, don't you think it's like 9 months too soon to even be touching this? I mean... He needs to go through, like, you know, matches with Cena and Sheamus before he starts teasing being a, you know, be splitting from Ziggler, I think.
Maybe Vince McMahon watching NXT tape and went, God damn it, he's, you know, didn't know he was a babyface.
I don't know. You know, who knows?
Because I'll tell you, I watched him in NXT and I was baffled when they brought him up as a non-speaking silent heel.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just weird that they... You know, train guys for 2 years for a certain role, and then they bring them up with the exact opposite role that they've been training them for.
Yeah, so maybe someone figure that out.
Yeah, well, they probably shouldn't have started that thing if they're going to, you know, break it up so quick. But
regardless, they had a great match with Cena and Ziggler, as you noted, 18 minutes. And story of the match was Dolph Ziggler. They kicked out Big E and AJ, but then there was a ref bump and they came back and Big E hit his finish on Cena. And Ziggler covered, second ref ran in, Cena kicked out, ruining it, by the way, by watching the ref count, my pet peeve, and then immediately hit the AA and got the pin. So overcame all the odds, pinned Dolph Ziggler, and what I got out of this was... They were making a big deal about how... At first, I was, like, infuriated, because it was like, okay, here we go. It's 2013, same exact stuff from 2012, Ziggler getting beaten again by Cena clean with all this interference, blah, blah, blah. But then I realized, at least I think, the story they're telling right now is that John Cena is going to have a great year, and he kicked it off big here with this win over Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
And so I presume that doom is coming for him soon. And he's going to have to overcome that doom to beat Rock at WrestleMania.
Doom.
Yeah.
I wonder what that is.
I don't know. He's all of a sudden going to go like on a losing streak, or all of a sudden everything's going to go wrong.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I do.
Okay. I don't think he's going on a losing streak.
I don't know about necessarily a losing streak, but...
I mean, he may lose a match, but I don't think he's going to lose too much. I don't think he's doing much losing for a while.
So just now he's just going to win straight through WrestleMania?
Well, he ain't going to win the Elimination Chamber.
It's not a lot of drama.
I mean, will he win the Royal Rumble? I mean, he's certainly in the short list of guys who could win. That's for sure.
We had Caitlin and Eve, which didn't last long. They had a quick match, and then Eve just walked out through the crowd to bail, in fact. And they played her music, of course, because she fled. So, presumably, there's going to be some sort of stipulation for their championship match down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Lumberjills, perhaps.
Yeah, could be. It would make sense based on the finish. I hate those kind of walkout finishes, but, I mean, they've been doing them there for, God knows, you know, 30 years. You know, I mean, and even longer. I've never liked them. I mean, especially in a championship match. I think it makes the championship look like just a complete joke, but...
I hated it because she walked out. Caitlyn wins the match, but not the title.
Right.
But because Eve retained, they ended up playing Eve's music.
I was like, I don't mind them playing her music because...
It's, that was preposterous.
Playing music isn't preposterous.
On a sporting event, if Chael Sonnen had waffled...
They don't play people's music. No matter.
Let's just say they did.
But they don't.
If he waffled Anderson Silva with a tire iron and they played his music afterwards because he...
They do this in wrestling all the time. They always think... They very often will play both guys' music when it's over.
Should have just played Caitlyn's. That's my
Well,
argument.
I agree with you there, but you know, I don't think that's any big deal. I mean, hey, you know, look, you're probably not going to get to listen to her music much longer, so there you go.
Yeah.
So enjoy it while you can.
Yeah. Santino and Ricky Steamboat backstage. Santino's getting ready for his match with Wade Barrett. And Wade was kind of burying Ricky Steamboat, and so Steamboat offered to be in Santino's corner later tonight.
What a waste of Ricky Steamboat.
I'll get into that in a second. So we had Matt Stryker. I think, we'll see. Matt Stryker interviewed Randy Orton, and 3MB walked in, and they banter back and forth and everything like that. They're all in the Rumble, and Orton asked, which one of you am I going to face tonight, And Heath said, well, you can face the drummer, the guitar player, or the front man, who was himself.
No, I think they were both. I don't think anyone was drummers.
Made those instruments up.
Okay, yeah, one of them was like a lead guitar, one of them was bass guitar, and the other was the front man.
All right. Anyway, he chose the front man, and he said that tonight, instead of playing air guitar, Heath Slater would be playing the harp. Yes, exact reaction this got live. Poor Randy Orton.
Yeah.
He could not have delivered a dumber line.
They didn't give him a good line here.
If he would have just at least added at the end, like, because you'll be dead, that would have been like the Randy Orton character. But instead, he just told a stupid joke and walked off.
Randy Orton should not do comedy.
Never.
I mean, it's just not in his...
And you could tell he hates it.
Yeah, yeah. John Cena shouldn't be taught. You know, they should have certain words... And Wiener is definitely, like, right on that list. I'm going to, like, have a list of, like, banned words, and that should be one of them. Poop, Wiener, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. It's like words guaranteed to make you lame. And it's like, I don't think that, like, you want lame. I mean, even, like you know, even if they think, number one, I mean, half of their audience is over the age of 40, which they never get. And even if they go, like, well, we're aiming it for teenagers, it's like, teenagers have outgrown those words, you know. I think that those are like 6-year-old words, aren't they, or 8-year-old words?
I think most 8-year-olds would be embarrassed to use those words.
Okay, 6-year-olds.
Sure.
Okay, but it's just, you know, why is he doing it? I don't know.
So we had Daniel Bryan and Kane against Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes, and they did a storyline. The tag team champions were beaten by the challengers.
Yep, so we'll get a title shot.
That's right.
Either on TV or at Rumble. Probably at Rumble, I'm thinking.
Yeah. So this is fine.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. The worked on Daniel Bryan's knee for a long time, and then Cody pinned him with a crossroads. Just a clean pin. No Hall of Fame announcement, by the way.
Nope.
I mean, they announced tickets on sale, but I guess that the first person to be announced will be next week because they didn't announce anyone this week.
We had Randy Orton against Heath Slater, and Randy Orton won and then laid out everybody with RKOs, and that was that. I like Heath Slater.
Yeah, no, for this role, Heath Slater's very good.
Yeah. So, Wade Barrett versus Santino. Santino took the elbow for the pin, and then... there was a moment where Ricky stared down Wade, and Wade bailed. And my first thought was, they got to be bringing in Ricky Steamboat. This is like the beginning of this. No?
You know what they should do? This is what they should do, okay? You know, Big E's got to lose the NXT title on Thursday night because he's, you know, he's on the main roster. So what they should do is, they should... turn Big E, they got to turn Big E heel on Thursday, right? Okay, so Richie Steamboat should beat him for the title. And then, 10 days later, or less, Richie Steamboat should debut on Raw as a heel. That way they would be consistent.
Sure.
You know. So anyway.
All fine, except I figure if Ricky is on TV and Richie is going to be with his father, he'll be a babyface.
You know, there's people in the company who actually think that Richie probably is best off being a heel. And I don't know, because I haven't seen him as a heel. I get what the mentality is. I think the feeling is that he's so much like his father but he can't compare to his father. So it's just better off to just, you know, kind of like Cody Rhodes, just better off as a heel. But I'd have to, again, he's only been trained as a face. But yeah, I mean, I hope it has something to do with something, because
strange for him to be out there otherwise.
Yeah, the thing I don't like when they bring the legends back and they have them in such a role that just, it's not like, again, it's not like it really meant anything. Yes, you're right. Maybe if they're bringing in Richie, then it could mean something.
But, well, actually, the NXT guys were there tonight, weren't they?
Oh, backstage?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm sure everyone. I'm sure in Tampa. I'm sure everyone from NXT was there. Yeah.
So maybe they're going to do a deal where Ricky and Wade have stare downs for a while, and finally Wade goes after him. But since Ricky can't take any sort of beating, his son comes out and makes a save.
Yeah, I suppose.
Watch that happen on Main Event. Hope not. We had Sheamus running a bro kick all of 3MB in a backstage segment. This segment sucked.
Sheamus, I didn't even get it.
Comedy just sucks.
Yeah, it was yeah, he was saying Danny Boy. That's the only thing I remember out of it.
So, presumably they figure that nobody watches Main Event, because they gave us Antonio Cesaro versus Great Khali again, and all of the announcers acted like they'd never seen this match nor seen the finish. And keep in mind, Miz is a host on the Main Event, and he was there doing commentary, and Antonio Cesaro once again hit the Great Khali with his finish, which everybody was very impressed by, including the announcers, who'd never seen anything like this. And that was your match.
Yeah, the match sucked, but it was a good finish. Khali looked very unhealthy out there.
He always looks like that, though, doesn't he?
He just looked, I don't know, just the way he was. I mean, I know he never can move well, but it's like it's getting progressively worse. I guess it's going to get progressively worse. But it was like kind of almost noticeable that there's a difference, like, you know, even in the short period of time.
We had Heyman backstage, and Maddox appeared, and Heyman cut a promo on him saying he didn't want him in his life, didn't want him around, didn't want to ever see him again, and Maddox then cut a promo on him, and essentially in the end, Heyman told him to hit the bricks and threatened him with death. Death.
Yeah.
Sheamus and Jinder Mahal. We had Sheamus, of course, winning with the bro kick. Not a long match or anything like that. Not much to it. Drew and Heath.
Yeah, he used the bro kick on the other two guys too, didn't he?
Yeah, they got involved. They got kicked. And there you go. Then we had the big TLC match. It was Punk versus Ryback. They had a hell of a match. They had a TLC match here for free on Raw. And they did all their stuff. The finish was...
Punk worked really, really hard on this one.
Yes, he did.
Boy, did he.
Finish was exactly what everybody would expect. The Shield came out. They destroyed... Actually, what happened was Ryback was about to get the belt and the lights went out. And when they came back on, the Shield was on the ladder. All of them except Roman Reigns, who ran out later. And they destroyed Ryback. They took him outside. They powerbombed him through a table onto the steps, which actually was probably a hell of a lot easier bump than with no steps. And he sold it like he was his back had been broken. Punk climbed up, grabbed the belt. He had been put through a table prior by Ryback before he went to climb. He went up, grabbed the belt, and retained the title. He was bleeding. They went through tables. They used chairs. Punk did the apparently he's been watching some TNA. He did the Jeff Hardy bump onto the gimmick part of the ladder that keeps the thing open, that skinny part that you should never take a bump on. And they worked hard. Ryback didn't do any big bumps off the ladder or anything like that. They tried to keep him from killing himself. But smoke mirrors aside, it's a hell of a match.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't think that Ryback was super over in the building, though.
He was over as Goldberg.
What? Well, Goldberg was over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Ryback, and it's been that case. You know, Ryback, when he leads his crowd and doing the Feed Me More, they all get into it. But when it comes to, like, Ryback selling, it's like they don't get behind him when he sells.
So it's a good match, and afterwards they had an interview where he essentially said that he was going to come out later and he was going to talk before The Rock had a chance to do so. We had a segment with Team Hell No, and they were being all wacky, and Vicky showed up and announced that next week Dr. Shelby is back for the 4-month evaluation of Daniel Bryan and Kane.
Can you imagine, like, they may have, like, you know, Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels or Undertaker on the show, and the only person that was promoted for next week's show was Dr. Shelby.
Yeah.
I mean, they promoted nobody for next week's show.
Well, you're right. They were very busy, I guess.
Shouldn't be that busy.
Busy enough that Kofi got beaten in, like, 10 seconds with a knockout punch from the Big Show.
Yeah, you know, they could have gone 5 minutes and cut it off with a Punk promo and been better for everyone, for all concerned.
Well, I think they were out of time, and Kofi suffered as a result.
Yeah.
I don't even think they needed to put this match on the show if it was going to end up like this. Kofi looked like a complete idiot.
But you know what? There's like 50 other guys they could have put in there.
Yeah.
You know,
well, all of 3MB had been used already, so.
Okay, 47.
Yeah.
They were supposed to do an angle with Del Rio, but Del Rio is has personal issues, but he is supposed to be back tomorrow night. So we'll see. You know, he's been out for I'm trying to remember when was the last time he worked. He was on SmackDown last Friday, right? No, he was on when they taped Raw. He was on the Raw, but he didn't wrestle. You know, when Ricardo wrestled Big Show. So that would have been on the 29th. So the 30th was the first date that he was scheduled, and he missed. And then he missed all the shows this weekend. And he missed tonight, but he'll be back tomorrow night, I guess.
We had the main event, which was the big promo, Punk and The Rock. We've gone over it. Couple of notes. Punk did talk about guys who were underutilized, and he threw out the names Daniel Bryan and Tyson Kidd, people.
Tyson Kidd is, but now he's saying it just to pretend he's appeasing people that he's really not.
Yeah,
it's like a complete, you know, psychological work on everyone.
Yeah, it's a hell of a promo, but again, we talked about it all before. There was a disconnect between these two men. And Rock did get a cookie puss chant going, which also sucked.
That's like the new thing.
Hopefully that ends by next week. This could have come up with something that would be the CM and CM Punk, but he didn't.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was a show. It was something else. I'll say that. It was at points exciting. So we'll see where they go next week. They got 3 weeks before the Royal Rumble. And we shall see where they go. Apparently, they booked backwards all the way from WrestleMania, so they got plans. They got matches.
They got whatever they got. They got it, and so we'll watch and build. There was really nothing. There was really nothing that on the show that really teased WrestleMania. I mean, even Cena's promo really. You know, he said he would win the championship, which puts him on a collision course with Rock if Rock does win the championship. That was like his big thing. I think he said he was going to win the Rumble as well.
What is up with THQ?
Yeah, they were supposed to have a thing. By the way, tomorrow's Overeem's hearing, but he they were supposed to have their bankruptcy thing filed, and Clear Lake was supposed to put in $60 million tomorrow and basically get the company, and they were going to just keep going, and you know, a lot of the companies would be late royalties and things like that, but they were going to just try to keep it going. And a lot of the creditors complained that this deal doesn't smell good, and they were all owed money, and So the bankruptcy judge in ruled that they're delaying it for a couple of weeks. I think it was so it'd be like the 22nd. And to raise money, she wants them to sell assets. So instead of like selling, as of right now, instead of like selling the company, the idea is to sell licenses to other companies and use that money to pay the creditors. So WWE, very, very good chance that it won't be on, that station anymore. WWE won't be, they won't be on, with THQ anymore, that they'll be sold to somebody else. But that's not 100%. It's the most likely scenario, though. But it's all going to start going down. The bidding on these different things, the Saints Row and all the different video games THQ owns will start, or I guess be completed on the 22nd.
I hear Bully Ray is all over the poster for the next pay-per-view, despite being...
Not the poster, on the television commercials.
Oh, the commercials,
they play,
yeah.
They play all the time. Maybe he's on the
Not to mention, he is billed for this coming Thursday. He's going to show up to address him being suspended without pay. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
He hasn't missed any shows.
That's right, he's all over the... he's all over the house shows. Yeah. He's all over the television show.
They announced two matches. They announced James Storm and Christopher Daniels and Doc against Sting for the pay-per-view. I figure, if they had those two matches, why didn't they announce them on Thursday?
Well, it's always good to wait till the very last minute, I've been told.
Well, I mean, when you have companies that are doing such, the company that's doing that the most, which is TNA, with such stellar results.
Sure.
You'd think maybe it isn't.
Well, if you keep doing the same thing, it changes eventually.
Actually, sometimes in wrestling it does, but it takes a long time, and it's still kind of stupid.
Now, how did the quarter hour do for that segment, Bully and Hogan?
Oh, that was through the roof. That was the biggest gain any segment TNA had in months. I mean, just a long, long time. It's like 455,000 viewers added, which for TNA, it's a lot of viewers added. So that was, that segment did great.
I thought that segment was awesome. We talked about this a couple of days ago, but glad to see a good segment did a good number.
Yeah. Well, they put it at 9. Every TNA segment at 9 is going to do about 150,000 viewers added this one. But this one tripled it. So, you're going from where they went. I mean, it was very good. And it was the high point of the show. I mean, it was bigger than Sting coming back, which actually didn't do all that well. I mean, I think that actually lost viewers.
What is it with that final quarter that always does so poorly?
I don't know. Maybe the people have had
It's only a two-hour show.
You spend the whole show building up a main event, and it's at 10. It's at 9:45, so it's not like it's 10:45 where you can make this thing that school kids. But that doesn't work for WWE. I mean, WWE's overrun is, eight weeks out of 10, the highest point of the show, right? Or 7 weeks out of 10 anyway.
Yeah,
that's 11.
It's kind of an indictment of the program, really.
It's an indictment of something that they don't stay for the main events sometimes.
Speaking of, we'll move it on to, speaking of Spike TV, Bellator, moving on to Eddie Alvarez. So, UFC made an offer. Bellator not only matched the offer, but Bjorn Rebney claims that they took the PDF, and everywhere where it said UFC, they replaced it with Bellator. And he didn't change a single word except UFC and Bellator. And they completely 100% matched the contract in every way. And Eddie Alvarez has claimed that, in fact, they did not, and now it's in litigation. What a disaster.
Okay, well, if they took the PDF, wouldn't that, include, a signature from, Dana White?
Well, I'm sure they whited that out.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
You can say that, but, yeah. Yeah, the offer's $250,000 signing bonus, $70,000 plus $70,000, $70,000 to show, $70,000 to win. That's for the starting pay for the first match, and then it would escalate. And Bellator agreed to match it, and Eddie Alvarez's claim is that they're not matching it because, number one, I can get a big pay-per-view bonus if I main event in UFC, and that they can't match that, and they matched it anyway because what they matched it is that, like, well, if we have a pay-per-view and you're in the main event, we'll give you a big pay-per-view bonus. Of course, the problem is that they're not going to be in a main event, and he's not going to get anywhere near the bonus, but as he would with the UFC. So Eddie's very unhappy, and he's suing to get out of his he's suing so he can get out of Bellator and go to UFC, and then Bellator suing him for doing a project without authorization, an autobiographical movie type project. So that's where it all stands right now.
And Steven Espinoza today announced that with Strikeforce dying and all the fighters moving to UFC, they are still interested in doing mixed martial arts on Showtime and are negotiating with some different companies, none of which have been named publicly.
Yeah. But the problem is that one of the reasons, I mean, the reason, the public reason as to why this Strikeforce thing is being shut down is because they were unhappy with the quality of the shows, the depth of the shows. They felt that, the money that they're paying for rights fees, that they should be getting higher quality of fighters. The problem with that is that by dropping, Strikeforce, which means you're no longer in the Zuffa umbrella, it's like, okay, now you if you want to do it, now what do you do? I mean, what company do you go with?
Well, I think after this weekend, a lot of people would say Invicta, but I don't know if Showtime is always, based on their handling of the women in the past, I don't know if that's going to be high on the list.
Well, the problem with Invicta is it's all women. Every match is a women's match. And I mean, they run a very professional show. It's easy to watch. And the skill level of the women is surprisingly good. So, that aspect of it is fine, but I just don't know about Showtime, broadcasting a complete women's league. I think that, of course you could do women on your fight card, and even sometimes if it's the right one, main event. But you still need, to me, you need an undercard to a degree. I mean, you need men's fights on the card, to make it work.
All right, let's do some of the email questions here. This person wants to know, what is the deal with Mike Goldberg? Obviously, a lot of rumors.
What's the deal with Mike Goldberg? He had an issue that kept him away. He said he was ill. I don't know that that's the case. The story about what was the thing that everyone jumped to the conclusion that he's addicted to? Adderall?
I think it was Adderall was reported in some sort of outlet.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not what I mean, I heard something completely different, which I'm presuming is true, but it's just, which essentially is just, a personal matter that needed to be addressed that weekend.
And so he will likely be back by the end of the month.
He's scheduled on the January 26th show in Chicago, which would be the next show he would work anyway, because the 19th show, John Anik and Kenny Florian are scheduled for that one. So he's scheduled on the pay-per-view.
What is Brian Gourd's current role in WWE? Is he still there? Is he working with Rock during this run?
I don't know. I mean, normally he's been pretty much out of creative, but it's possible he could be working with Rock because he is Rock's, guy. So, I don't think he has anything to do with the product right now, but, if you need Rock to manage you or something like that, I mean, he could do as good a job as any.
This person says, was it me or did Punk not sell the ladder match at all during the Rock promo?
He didn't sell it that much, that's for sure.
Yeah, he did at the beginning. I mean, he wiped blood out of his mouth and all over his shirt. So, but other than that, no, he did not. All right, this person here says, any update on when the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, will return?
I thought he left TNA to try to be an actor. So I don't think there's any plans for him coming back.
All right, this person here says, Mania 29. I was wondering if you guys had any idea when the next batch of Mania tickets will go on sale.
They've got tickets on sale now, don't they?
I haven't heard of it being sold out.
No, and we would hear if it is. You know, Rumble sold out, but Mania's not sold out. There were a lot of tickets still out on, you know, that you could just go to the box office and get.
All right, this person here says, has there been any word on another season of Ring Ka King?
No, there's nothing. It's dead.
Dead, huh?
Well, I mean, I can't say dead because there's always the chance that maybe they'll order it, but it's not looking good. That's, you know what I mean? When it, you know, if you don't renew it right away, it's not looking good.
This person wants to know what Monty Brown is up to these days.
Last I heard, he was living in Michigan, and he was raising his kids, and he was working as a personal trainer before, so he's probably still working at that. So that's the deal.
This person wants to know if MMA Live on ESPN2 has been canceled.
Yes.
That was easy. All right. Let's see. Was reading an old Observer from April of 93, and you remarked how you've never seen a wrestler's popularity nosedive without a turn like Vampiro's did in Mexico. I was wondering if you remembered why.
You know, Vampiro was like one of those teen idols that was really, really huge among kids and girls, especially little girls, but women in general. And his shelf life was only a couple of years. So that was the deal. I mean, but he had some success later. I mean, because as he got older, he kind of became this legend. But like right now, I mean, I don't know, you know, he is tag team champion in AAA, or at least he was the last I heard. And, you know, the thing with him was, is you know, there's a feeling that he's kind of like the legend coming back whenever he does his comebacks. So that's why he keeps, you know, quitting intermittently and then coming back a couple months later all the time.
All right, one more here. This person says, in the May 29, 1995 back issue of The Observer, Dave writes that during McMahon's trial, CFO Doug Sages said under oath that in Titan's best year ever, it earned a $6 million profit. Can this really be true, even accounting for inflation? Surely the boom years of the late 80s generated more profit than this.
No, it's true. $6 million was like their best years as far as pure profit went, you know, in the 80s. Yeah.
So this would be pure profit and not obviously the total gross.
No, not even close to total gross.
All right, everybody. That is your show for today. We're going to be back. We got a lot of shows coming up later on this week. I know that last week we didn't have a Dr. Lucha show, so that is going to be coming up tomorrow. John Lister is going to be joining Dave and I on Wednesday. Have a new Wrestling Observer Radio up there as well. And shows throughout the rest of the week, including 10-minute afternoon updates every day as well. So lots of stuff coming up. We got a lot of stuff up on the front page. We had several shows this past weekend, so check it all out. And we'll talk to you again after a while.